So President Obama will be in Green Bay this morning. Governor Romney will be in West Dallas tomorrow. The vice presidential running mates, the candidates' wives, their other supporters, including former President Bill Clinton, continue to stump in the state of Wisconsin. Are there still some independent or wavering voters out there in our state who have yet to make up their minds? Have you heard anything on the campaign trail, in an ad or in the news, that made you question your choice for president or U.S. Senate? How would you convince the unconvinced to see things your way? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, November 1st. We'll be talking with Charles Franklin this hour. He is a political scientist and a pollster, and we will take a look at the latest numbers. The latest poll from the Marquette University Law School was released yesterday, and we'll talk about that, but we will also talk about some of the last-minute issues, the issues making news now in this home stretch of campaign 2012. Election day is only days away. And we'll welcome your input at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Charles Franklin. He's a visiting professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, and he is director of the Marquette University Law School poll. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So this last poll from 2 weeks ago, it was much different. Tell us, right now, President Obama has taken a pretty substantial lead over Mitt Romney.
Yes. 2 weeks ago in our previous poll, Obama had just a one-point edge, 49 to 48. Now, that poll was done right after the first presidential debate and a period when Romney was surging and Obama was down. Now, after the two other presidential debates and another 2 weeks of campaigning, we have Obama at 51% and Romney at 43, an eight-point margin. That's still not as large a margin as Obama had before the first debate, but it's returning to a significant Obama lead nonetheless.
So these are independent voters who changed their minds?
These are independents especially. Partisans on both sides are very strongly committed to their party. Well over 90% of Democrats are supporting Obama, and over 90% of Republicans are supporting Romney. And those numbers have only modestly changed at all and have stayed in the 90s basically all fall. But among independent voters, we do see that there are week-to-week changes in the wake of the first debate. Independents were going for Romney by a 49-45 margin. But now, after the third debate, independents have swung back to Obama 46-41. It's really among those independents that we've been consistently seeing shifts throughout the fall since August.
Mm-hmm. And what about the race for U.S. Senate?
In the U.S. Senate, we see Baldwin with a four-point lead over former Governor Thompson. That, too, had moved to essentially a tie 2 weeks ago. We had Governor Thompson leading over Representative Baldwin by a fraction of a percentage point that rounded to one percentage point lead for Thompson. Now that shifted to a four-point lead for Baldwin, which is where we had had the race 4 weeks ago with a four-point lead for Baldwin. So that one's quite close. That is just barely inside the margin of error for the poll and certainly a race where it looks more competitive right now than the presidential race.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I should hasten to add the presidential race is by no means sewn up either if you look at how much shifting we've seen over the last month.
Right, and this, of course, it's also not taking into account what's happening right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Our polling was conducted here in Wisconsin Thursday through Sunday this past week. So we completed our polling before Hurricane Sandy hit the East Coast and, of course, all the campaign events as well as the news events that have taken place since Sunday.
Yeah. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about how that might be affecting politics and the race in just a bit. But I wanted to ask you just a little bit more on the poll. I don't want to spend the whole hour on methodology, but I know right away on our Facebook page somebody said the sample was too liberal. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that influences the poll results?
Sure. In our last four polls, taken beginning in mid-September, the samples have been 34% Democratic, 34%, 31%, and 34% for this latest one. And Republicans have been 27, 28, 28, and 29. So that's been a very stable distribution over the last four polls. I think one of the continuing discussions about partisan balance is that pollsters don't set those numbers. What we do is sample telephone numbers in the state in a way that gives every number an equal chance of being selected into the sample. And then we rely on what people tell us about their partisanship. The question is, generally speaking, do you usually think of yourself as a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent? And so these partisanship numbers come from the responses to that rather than some preset or pre-specified values. Now, there are some differences there. Just before the gubernatorial recall election in June, our sample was 32% Democratic, 30% Republican. So if you look at it from that perspective, we're a couple of points more Democratic and 1 point less Republican than where the electorate stood just before the recall. One of the issues, of course, is not what do people tell the pollsters, but who actually shows up on election day. Now, all of the numbers I've been giving you are for likely voters, people who tell us they're absolutely certain they will vote next Tuesday. Inevitably, of course, some will go to the polls and some won't. And ultimately, from here on out, it's in the hands of the voters for mm-hmm. to decide who actually shows up on election day.
Do we know if early voting is swinging Mitt Romney or President Obama?
Yeah. We did ask a question about whether people had voted already. Now, that's only 10% of the sample. The Government Accountability Board is estimating about 20% of Wisconsin will vote early. Our interviews were completed about halfway through the early voting period, so our finding of 10% having early voted in half of the early voting window would be consistent with that 20% forecast from GAB. In our data for just that 10% of the sample, both Democrats were leading. Obama had 56 to Romney's 36, and Baldwin 52 to Thompson's 36. But I hasten to add that that is 10% of the sample, and with still a full week to go for early voting at the time we finished our poll.
Mm-hmm. Well, your assessment of these numbers, the final poll from Marquette University Law School before the election. What are you reading into this? What does it tell you?
I think the most striking thing is that significant leads by both Obama and Baldwin in mid-September have narrowed. In the wake of the first presidential debate, they narrowed to the point of a tie in both races. And now in the month or almost a month since that first debate, Democrats have come back a little bit. Obama has come back to a larger lead. The Baldwin campaign is still a marginal lead, very modest lead, but ahead. And if we look across the whole range of polling, we're seeing a fairly consistent pattern of a little bit of an uptick in Democratic margins. I should just add there's a new poll from NBC and the Wall Street Journal and the Marist Institute out today, this morning, that's showing a 3-point Obama lead, 49-46, and is showing a 1-point Baldwin lead, 48-47. So those numbers are a little bit closer than what our numbers are showing, though they're pointing in the same direction.
And the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College poll will be coming out. Actually, we'll be releasing the numbers today, and we'll be talking about them tomorrow on this show. So stay tuned for those numbers as well. We are talking about the numbers and the issues that are making news during this last week before the election day. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest, Charles Franklin, who is a visiting professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, and he's the director of the Marquette University Law School poll. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Quick check of the weather. It's going to be mostly sunny and cool with highs today in the 40s. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 20 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, November 1st. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we'll turn our attention from the presidential race to presidential history. We'll have a little bit of fun and conduct a presidential trivia contest with Richard Lederer, who you know as the Verbivore. He is a language expert that we frequently have on the program, but he also writes books about humor and history, and one of his books is on presidential trivia. And we'll play some presidential trivia coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now we're talking about the presidential race and the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin, talking with Charles Franklin, who is the director of the Marquette University Law School poll, releasing yesterday the last Marquette University Law School poll before Tuesday's election. This one showing a shift toward President Obama and Tammy Baldwin compared to the last survey a couple of weeks ago in the presidential race. So the poll found Obama up on Mitt Romney 51% to 43%. And in the Senate race, the poll found Baldwin up on Tammy Baldwin over Tommy Thompson, 47% to 43%. 1-800-642-1234 if you want to talk about the numbers, but also if you want to talk about the issues that are shaping both of the campaigns. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Wanted to ask you before we start taking calls, Professor Franklin, that we have, you know, President Obama in Green Bay today, Mitt Romney rescheduling, you know, these are rescheduled campaign visits because of Hurricane Sandy. But now I think tomorrow in West Allis, Mitt Romney will be in Wisconsin. So the presidential candidates are still trying to influence Wisconsin voters, right?
Yes, they are. And the Obama campaign has been here quite a bit with multiple presidential visits, and the vice president and the first lady have been here frequently, as well as Bill Clinton coming through recently and I think coming back. We have not seen Governor Romney since August when Paul Ryan was picked, and so this is his first return to the state, though Congressman Ryan has certainly been here several times, as has Ann Romney and other representatives of the Romney campaign. I think what we're seeing here in these closing days of the campaign are the candidates touching base in the competitive states, which we certainly still are. And also, it's worth not getting too into the numbers here, but Wisconsin with 10 electoral votes is an important state prize for the Electoral College total. You need 270 votes there to win. And so it's also important for both campaigns that if they could take these 10 votes into their column, that would be a significant help to either one.
Here's a comment from Gary on Facebook, who writes, I seriously doubt that there are enough undecided voters out there or those who will change their vote to affect the outcome from what it would be today. The polls at this time may further pin down what the vote will be, but I don't expect to see any real changes in actual support for candidates. The media still wants to make it look like a horse race to keep their viewership up, but I am guessing that Nate Silver is right, and it will be an Obama victory, although I will do my part to prove him wrong. Gary is not a President Obama supporter. Your thoughts on that, Professor Franklin?
Well, I think the most important thing from a civic point of view is to remember that these surveys, these polls, are not going to determine the election. It's the people that show up and vote next Tuesday, and so the fate of the country still rests in the voters' hands either way. And turnout is potentially critically important, aside from simply the civic duty aspect of it. It's true as an empirical fact that over past elections, the closer you come to election day, the better the average of the polls are at predicting the outcome. But it's not because the polls are telling us how to vote. It's because respondents to the polls are telling us how they plan to vote. And most people don't change their minds this late. Having said that, though, the kinds of shifts we see among independents in the sample does show that you can get some pretty important changes even within 2 or 3 weeks of Election Day. And I think with a week to go, it's still possible to see some voters, especially those voters that feel ambivalent between the two candidates, to maybe tilt a little more to one side or a little more to the other. So that's another aspect that can still lead to some shifts as we come up to Election Day.
Let's take some calls. We have Harmony in North Freedom. Hi, Harmony.
Hi. I just wanted to say I am an independent voter, and, you know, there are more issues that are important to voters than just the ones you see on TV. And I am a person of faith, and I was planning on voting for Mitt Romney because of his conservative views on abortion. However, I was on CNN and .com, and I was reading an article about the president and his faith. And it moved me, and I was touched by how he, maybe you don't see it in the public eye on TV, or, but he's a person of faith, and his faith affects his decisions. And so then I was like, well, who am I going to vote for? I need to rethink it. I need to sit down and really think about what's important to me. And so I think there's more, people are thinking more. Is one thing I wanted to say. People are really considering. It's not just who's the Republican or who's the Democrat, and I'm a Republican, so therefore I'm going to vote Republican. I think the issues really matter. And in a lot of ways, the candidates are the same. So on the political choices, they're the same. So if they're the same in those areas, then we have to look deeper.
All right. So, Harmony, I guess a lot of people might disagree that the candidates are the same when it comes to other issues like the economic issues. But what about that, Professor Franklin?
Well, I think Harmony's point is a very good one, that there are plenty of folks who are consistently liberal and Democrat or consistently conservative and Republican. We have a lot of those in our sample, as a matter of fact. And for those folks, this is not a hard choice because it's very stark, the differences between the two candidates for those people who are consistently left or right, Democrat or Republican. But for independents like Harmony, where you see mixed feelings about the candidates, there's not a single issue driving you, nor is there a single set of issues that all point in the same direction. And that's one of the reasons why independent voters can shift a bit. Maybe you're focused more on the economy one week, but a couple of weeks later, issues of faith, as Harmony was bringing up, come into play. And so it's easy to divide the world in this polarized way between left and right, liberal and conservative, and think everybody falls in that category. But in fact, 35% of our voters in our sample and in the state are people who consider themselves independents, and many of them have a mixture of issues, some of which they agree with one candidate, some with the other. That's why their votes are subject to movement, is because they have mixed feelings about them.
And no disrespect whatsoever to Harmony, but her faith issues are very important, too. But when you have one candidate saying, you know, raise taxes on the rich, the other saying, no, don't do that. One candidate saying, we've got to drastically change Medicare. The other saying, no, we can't do that. And, you know, the list goes on and on. How could someone think those two candidates are the same on those issues?
Sure. Well, I think part of the question is, how do we voters perceive the candidates? And I think there's undoubtedly an element in which our thinking about the candidates is not a complete inventory of every position they've taken, but a sense of who they are and a sense of where they're leaning or what they might do. There's also a level of cynicism, if you will, that there's not much difference between the major party candidates regardless. Mm. So I think all of that gets mixed in. If this were purely a matter of going to their websites and writing down every issue or going through and analyzing every speech they made, I think there are clear differences between the candidates, very clear differences. But that doesn't always translate into the way voters see the candidates or the way voters bring some skepticism to professed differences.
Now, just a minute before news, can you give us a quick recap on whether there's a gender gap between Romney and Obama?
Yes, there is. There's been a gender gap all year. But one of the interesting parts was that changes was that after the first debate, the gender gap shrank a good bit here in Wisconsin for both the Senate and the presidential race. And that was true in a lot of national polling as well. However, since the second and third presidential debates, we've seen the gender gap come back, and it's now just about as large as it was in September before the debates began.
We are talking with political scientist and pollster Charles Franklin about the latest numbers in the presidential and U.S. Senate race and the issues on the campaign trail. And we'll talk more after we check the latest news. The latest poll from the Marquette University Law School, the last one before Tuesday's election, finds President Obama with a 51-43% lead over Mitt Romney and Tammy Baldwin with a 47-43% lead over Tommy Thompson. We're talking some about these numbers, but also about the issues that are making news this week as the campaigns enter the home stretch. I'm Joy Curdine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, November 1st. Certainly the presidential candidates are going to try to sway voters one last time with President Obama in Green Bay this morning and Governor Romney in West Allis tomorrow. We welcome your thoughts and questions on the race in these final days at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Curdine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Charles Franklin. He's a visiting professor of law and public policy, and he is the director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. And our next caller is Michael in La Crosse. Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm curious, like with late polls like this, and you see a significant lead, how does that affect? I mean, I'm wondering if, like, people that are undecided look at that and go, well, this candidate has a significant lead, and if there's a certain amount of just swaying going, well, I want to be with the winning team. I don't want to be with the loser. I want to be with the winning team. And do you ever do any studies like that?
Mm-hmm. Professor?
Sure. Yeah, thank you. It's a good question. One way to look at that is if there's a desire to be on the winning side, we should expect to see that the polls consistently underestimate the size of the winner's victory, right? Because people would be affected and move in that direction. And in fact, we do not see that. On average, the polls across all state and national elections for the last 15 years, at least, 16 years now, have been, on average, very close, within a couple of percentage points of the final outcome. The other way to look at it is, if you saw a blowout in the polls, you'd expect people to exceed that blowout. In fact, with really big leads, usually the race gets a little tighter rather than a bigger win. That actually is the nightmare of leading candidates, is their fear is not that they'll win by even more. Their fear is that some of their supporters may stay home thinking that it's in the bag. And to the extent that we're talking about leads of 10 or 15 points, there is a little evidence that those front runners end up doing a little less well than what the polls would show. But for competitive races inside about a 10-point margin, the track record of the polling is within 1 or 2 points on average.
We mentioned in our last half hour, Professor Franklin, that the presidential campaigns were essentially on hold for at least a couple of days because of Hurricane Sandy, and the candidates' appearances in Wisconsin were postponed anyway. I'm wondering, even though your poll wasn't out there during Hurricane Sandy, if you can give us your thoughts on how much you think this disaster is going to affect the outcome of the election.
Yeah. I would guess it's a very small effect for the vast majority of voters. As we were talking about earlier, these candidates do differ substantially on a number of policy issues and ideology, as well as party. And Sandy shouldn't be expected to really affect those people's views of the candidates on those grounds. There is some evidence over the decades, not just recent evidence, that presidents usually get an initial bump in approval after disasters, whether domestic or international. The ABC Washington Post poll that came out this morning showed that initially about 80% of their respondents across the political spectrum thought that President Obama had done a good or excellent job in responding to the hurricane. But I think it would be a mistake to quickly translate approval of his job performance in this particular instance into a vote for him. Perhaps for some fence sitters, some folks who are conflicted between the candidates, this is an opportunity for a very visible president and a situation to shift them a little bit. But I expect the net effect of that by next Tuesday is likely to be very minimal.
What about New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, a supporter of Mitt Romney's, patting President Obama on the back and saying he's doing such a great job?
Well, I think that certainly from the White House's point of view, they'd sure rather hear that than criticism of them. But I think we imagine that these statements carry more weight than they do. 2 weeks ago, Governor Christie was sharply critical of President Obama when he was out on the campaign trail. Now he's saying he's doing a good job in responding to this hurricane. That's not a blanket endorsement for his reelection by any means, but a governor acknowledging that the federal government and the president in particular is doing all they can to help respond to this disaster. So I think maybe we overthink this a little bit.
Yeah, and just because I like to do that, what about
Well, you're paid to think, yeah. Boy, after all. Okay.
You too. There is also the some people saying this crystallizes the differences between the candidates and the whole question about the role of government in terms of FEMA, where Mitt Romney has reportedly said in the past, let's cut FEMA. We don't need this big government so much responding to this. And, the other side saying, hey, we all are in this together.
Well, this is a situation where something Governor Romney said specifically about FEMA in a debate earlier does come back as a legitimate issue of is is FEMA really one of those areas of the federal government that we would want to devolve down to the states? I think you could certainly have a view of limiting the federal role in many areas that nonetheless acknowledge the importance of a federal response to natural disasters. So it doesn't have to be an ideological argument specifically about FEMA. But in this case, because Governor Romney had taken an explicit position on that issue, and had said that many things should be devolved to the states, that has come up as an issue and one that the Romney campaign responded to yesterday, saying they support adequate funding for FEMA, but they didn't take a very clear position about his earlier statement in terms of devolving responsibility.
And I promise I'll get to calls in just a moment, but I also wanted to ask you, with the aftermath of Sandy and what the states that were affected are going through right now, especially New York, some people are wondering if things are going to be back to normal enough by Tuesday to allow for a normal voting day. What happens with that?
Well, it certainly will not be a normal voting day in those most hard-hit areas, but election officials are working hard at finding alternative voting places. I think that we are politically perhaps a bit lucky in that the hardest-hit areas, New Jersey and New York, are not states that are very close elections where turnout is absolutely critical for the outcome. And so this is a case where if the disaster had been further south and this were Virginia, for example, that had been so hard hit, then I think the outcome of the national election could conceivably hinge on that one state. But I don't know of anyone who thinks that New York or New Jersey were very likely swing states, and therefore I don't think they're very likely to be have their outcomes much affected by these difficulties. Not to minimize the difficulties. Yeah. They're, of course, extremely real on the ground in these places. But just from the national perspective, they're not likely to swing the election.
That makes sense. Brian in Janesville has been waiting. Thanks for waiting, Brian. You're on the air.
Either way is fine.
Brian, you're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering if the speaker has any comments on the fact that there's been about three bills passed by the president since 2010 by the current Congress, as opposed to dozens and dozens of bills before that. Is that Congress just not presenting bills? Is they're not cooperating with each other, or is the president really rejecting that many bills?
This is really an issue of stalemate. The Republicans that took control of the House of Representatives and increased their share of the Senate after the 2010 election have a very different agenda and view of what government should be doing from the president, and that's made it extremely difficult for either side to move legislation through. I don't know the specific counts off the top of my head, but I know that the legislation has certainly slowed down. But the reason here is because we have a real divide in the country between the Republicans elected in 2010 in reaction to the first 2 years of President Obama's term and the agenda of the president and Democrats still in the Congress who have a different view. And that conflict and the stalemate that comes from it has some very real implications for how we do business in the country, but it's not because they've stopped working. It's because they disagree so sharply that neither side is willing to find ways to work with the other. That will be one of the huge dilemmas going forward if we continue to have a divided government. We could very well have a Democratic Senate and President Romney, or we could have President Obama reelected and face a Republican House. So the prospects for ending this stalemate in the short term, I think, are very limited.
We are talking with Charles Franklin. He is a political scientist and a pollster. He is a visiting professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, and he directs the Marquette University Law School poll. Talking with him about the latest numbers and the latest issues in the presidential race and the U.S. Senate race, for that matter, if you want to talk about that. So have you made up your mind? Have you already voted? Have you are you still waiting to see what President Obama is going to say in Wisconsin today, or Mitt Romney, what he's going to say in Wisconsin tomorrow? Any independent voters out there who aren't completely committed to one candidate or the other? What are you waiting for? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be a sunny, cool day today with highs in the 40s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. We are going to play a game of presidential trivia coming up in our next hour. We're going to be talking with the author of Presidential Trivia, Richard Lederer. Here's one for you. You can think about this. What U.S. president, which U.S. president is the only U.S. president to have formerly been the head of a union? That's the question you can think about, and we'll answer it coming up after 8 o'clock. Talking with political scientist Charles Franklin during this hour about the latest issues in this home stretch of the campaign, both U.S. Senate and President, Election Day less than a week away now. And our next caller is Teresa in Green Bay. Hi, Teresa.
Good morning. I just wanted to say I'm voting straight Democratic. The key reasons are President Obama and Biden are pro-supporters of education, and I feel that the children are our future, and Obama's laid out a very explicit plan of how he would fund education, how he believes that creating the skills, teaching the skills that people need to go out into the workforce are going to create jobs. The second reason I'm voting straight Democratic is for the health care. I believe that he has a plan that will benefit Americans, that will ensure that Medicaid and Medicare are available for our seniors.
Thank you very much, Teresa, only because we have limited time. Two important issues. She's made up her mind. Thank you for letting us know, Teresa. Do we know from the polling, from the research, whether people agree with Teresa?
We're not specifically about education, but one of the interesting things is on health care reform, where here in Wisconsin, attitudes about health care reform have been closely divided, though since the Supreme Court ruling, we've seen a couple of polls that have shown more approval than disapproval of the Obamacare. Though some have shown it a little bit the other way, we asked a question in our survey, who would do a better job of handling health care? And on that issue, Obama had a 52-44 point lead over Governor Romney. Other areas like the federal budget deficit, Romney has a small lead over President Obama.
Our next caller is Joe in Weston. Hi, Joe.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for your call. And I agree with the last caller on the education comment. And my comments are about the debates and how I can see where Charles has said that people that are entrenched into their, you know, parties are usually not going to be swayed by the debates. But if the debates, there's a lot of misleading and basically false statements, like on your sister station today, they said the auto industries basically came out and said this new ad by Governor Romney is blatantly false. The banks wouldn't have lent them money if they would have went with Romney's plan. There was another comment about buying cars from Italy or...
The one ad that is beginning a lot of attention is the ad that says that Chrysler or that the car makers are going to ship jobs to China.
That's it, yeah. And that's false. But anyway, the American auto industry said that Obama's plan was the one that saved them. But the point I'm making is you know, I know the next day or that night they have PolitiFact and all these fact checkers coming out saying, oh, this is partially true or false. It's a shame they can't have that done in advance of the debate. So if someone basically spins something during the debate to get votes, it would be automatically called right then. And because it's just, it's misrepresentation, you know. And
Thank you, Joe. What about, has fact checking played a big role, do you think, in this election, Professor Franklin?
Well, fact-checking has become a booming industry. You know, the old line was that the first victim of war was the truth. That is even more true of campaigns. So I don't think there's any lack of checkable assertions in all campaigns. I think the most interesting part is how despite fact-checking in news media, campaigns largely ignore that. They're not, in fact, changing their commercials because of it or changing their speeches. Some of that is because truth lies partly in the view of the beholder. The Romney campaign has spoken out defending that commercial about auto jobs, even though the fact-checkers in the industry have said no. Is that because there is still some grain of truth, or that the technical or the legal, the detailed language they use is true, but the impression is not? But again, this goes to each campaign and is so much affected by us hearing what we want to hear, believing what we want to believe, and campaigns prey on that. Knowing that if we support a Democrat and a Democrat says something that's not true, a lot of his supporters will go along with that. And the same happens for Republicans going along with assertions that they would never accept from someone on the other side. This is the power of partisanship. We like to hear what reaffirms our choices, and what PolitiFact or other organizations say about it does very little to change our views of what's true, in quotation marks.
Well, Greg and Stephen's point just dropped off. He was going to ask about whether the Benghazi attack is going to play a part at all in this in the election. A lot of conservatives are upset that it's not getting the attention they think it deserves.
Right. And I think that's quite interesting as a debating point. Governor Romney raised it in one of the early debates, but then in the debate that focused on foreign policy and opened with a question about that, Governor Romney himself chose not to follow up with that criticism in the debate. That third foreign policy debate has been followed by a significant upturn in Obama's rating on foreign policy. In our previous poll after the first debate, Obama led Romney by just 3 percentage points on who would handle foreign policy better. But in this latest poll, that's grown back to a 14-point Obama advantage, suggesting pretty strongly that the Benghazi issue itself has not carried the day, and that the performance in that third foreign policy debate ultimately worked for Obama's advantage.
Well, do you think we're going to see any big changes in these numbers next Tuesday, Professor Franklin?
Well, I think it's always possible for the numbers to change. As I said earlier, a lot of this hinges on voters. We saw that the most engaged voters, the people following the campaign the closest, only have a 2-point margin in the presidential race versus the broader set of likely voters where it's an 8-point margin. So turnout can play a big role here. And again, ultimately, the choice is in the voters' hands now. It's not the pollsters' hands.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Charles Franklin, he is the director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. And we'll be talking more about the numbers and the campaigns and the issues in the campaigns tomorrow when we talk about the results of the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll on these issues. That's coming up tomorrow between 6 and 8. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.